This scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube streamed worship service from St Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on May the 12th, 2024. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
Gospel according to Luke chapter 24. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I'm sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. In a number of our readings, we hear of the word power today. Jesus says in Acts 1:8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, send your Spirit among us as we dwell with you in the Word. Send your Spirit to open our hearts, our minds, our lives to receive your gifts for us and to be your gifts in the world. Amen. So again, happy Mum's Day to people who are celebrating that today on this Ascension Day. Ascension Day means, well, you know, we celebrate it just a few days after the actual day, but it means next Sunday will be Pentecost, and next Sunday on Pentecost we'll be hearing the word of the Lord in various languages, which is sometimes a thing that we do in our readings. And we'll also hear from the team who travelled to Indonesia after Easter next Sunday. They're going to tell a story and they'll be sharing with us what they heard and experienced in another land. And that's the little team that's going to be presenting to you next week. And that's us in the church, in our partner church in Indonesia just a few Sundays ago, as we were welcomed amazingly on a very special day for that congregation. So that's to wet your lips for next weekend. But today we're going to focus on Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit for his disciples, that they would receive power. And we're going to hear a story from another land, and we're going to hear the story of spiritual power in the land of Thailand. One of the partner churches of the Lutheran Church of Australia and New Zealand is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Thailand. The gospel came to those people from people who brought the gospel from other lands, mainly to the south of the country. The church is a little church. And Thailand is a country of 70 million plus people. It's mainly Buddhist. Around 90-odd percent of people in the country would be Buddhist. Muslims around 5%, and Christians just under 2%. So it's a small population, and this is a small church within that population. In the north of the country, though, there's been something of a wonderful movement of the Spirit there, working faith among people. The people there are the Lua people. They're the indigenous people to that part, to the northern part of Thailand, where you can see a city by the name of Chiang Rai, and maybe some people who have been to Thailand have been up to Chiang Mai and Chiang Rai up in the north there. It's interesting country. It's remote where the Lua people are. It's very mountainous. It's very hazardous. It's hard to reach. It's very hot and humid to get there. And the people who lived there for many years were animists. That is, people who worshipped spirits. Spirit worship was their main religion. And it was to that country that the LCA sent a missionary by the name of Simon Mackenzie a number of years ago to partner with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Thailand to bring the news of Jesus to that place. In 2009, Sue and I and our daughter Carissa travelled there to visit Pastor Simon. I'm just going to show you a couple of my poor photos that we took when we were there. As I say, this is very remote, very mountainous country, and the mountains just seem to go on forever, you know, one mountain after another. It's prone to landslides, so as soon as there's any variation in weather, it gets pretty hard to get around due to the landslides, a very dangerous sort of place. And the roads, some of them are very rudimentary, just to even get around. And the views are very interesting, and I was scared witless when I took this photograph out the side of the car that was about to go over the edge, I thought, of looking down a long way into the valley of the shadow, it almost seemed to me. Here is an evangelist on a Sunday morning. This is the church. That's the view out the church. That's the church wall there and the church window in the village that we went to church, one of the villages we went to church to as we were there. And here are the people gathering for worship. And they'll be doing that again today. Families, and there's, it was very hot, so I thought I'd better get a photo of someone's water bottle. They were building a new church in another space, and this was the space that had been cleared for the building of a new church. And this was something that was bringing great joy to the people there. It wasn't much before that, and there's a lady in the village where they were going to be building this new church next to who's wearing a cross. It wasn't long before this photo was taken that the man on the right, who was the spirit doctor in the village, was someone who was wielding great power. And as the people told the story to us, they said this was some sort of power that weighed very heavily on the village. It was a depressing, dark type of power. The village was a hard place to live. Until such time as the gospel came to this place, and this is how the story is told, and this spirit doctor came to faith in Jesus Christ, and the people tell a story of great change. Great power at work is the language that they used when we were there. Power. Spiritual power. When you travel through some lands, like in the lands of Southeast Asia and maybe Papua New Guinea, where we have partners, Lutheran people there, and as you minister in a place like Alice Springs, I was blessed to learn many realities of spiritual power, I think. I've had the privilege of worshipping with people who have come to know the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives through the gospel, through the word of Jesus Christ. Spiritual power, it's a real thing. And next month, I'm planning maybe to address this a little bit more in a mini sermon series about spiritual warfare. Sometimes it seems to me that our developed nation way of thinking often dismisses the spiritual aspect of life. I don't know what your experience is. But the spiritual aspect of life is God's created reality. Make no mistake, there are spiritual powers at work. I sometimes wonder whether a land like Australia needs people from Thailand to come here as missionaries. People from the Lua country, perhaps, to open our eyes to the realities of the spiritual aspect of life. But you know, On a day like this, we're already called to this space. We're called to open our ears and our eyes again, as Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians. We heard these words today. He says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened," here's our witnessing eyes, these eyes, yes, but the eyes of our hearts, faith eyes, yeah? What does Paul want these eyes open for? Well, he goes on and prays for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and he goes on to say this, "so that you may perceive what is the hope to which he has called you? What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe?" His power for us who believe. And remember, over the last two Sundays, we've been in 1 John. And John there talked last week about us being conquerors. And here we're hearing about this power. What is it all about? His power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power, God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. God points us to power, his spiritual power in Christ, which is for you and for me and for all people. It is with heart eyes of faith that we see Jesus. It is with heart eyes of faith that we then are witnesses of Jesus, to Jesus, wherever God takes us. The developing and developed world, it seems, of reason talks of power as well. But I don't know what your experience is, but let me share something of mine. It seems to be often a power that's talked of that makes me and my position in life, my well-being, better at the expense of someone else. And perhaps, after all, that points us to what this original sin is. You know, I've got enough power in me, I don't need anyone, and I certainly don't need God. Spiritual power, it's real. Back in the late 1980s, when I was working in another place, when power seemed to be a real thing for people to attain, it seemed, in the industry that I was in. I remember people from that industry who'd been around a lot longer than I, who seemed to make it to the top. They were teaching me how to live a life of power. Dress for power, you know, but wear this type of tie and do this sort of stuff. When you walk down the street, walk down the middle of the street and get people to get out of your way, you know? Madness, wasn't it? It was Gordon Gekko era, if you remember that. And I was reminded of the stupidity of this and the futility of this a few months ago when I went to hospital for a procedure. It wouldn't have mattered what I was dressed in when I came to that hospital for that thing. They put me in a very ill-fitting white thing that was, I tried to, and you know, wooden tie. And you walk around with a paper bag that seems to scrunch every time you breathe with your few worthy possessions in it. Not much power when you feel very vulnerable. And I was sitting in a room with people who were equally feeling this vulnerability and unease as we sat there. In life, the spiritual reality is that on our own, in our own human power and condition, of original sin is that we are sick patients with no power of our own. Who do we look to? On this Mum's Day, I'm reminded of a beautiful witness of a mum just who told me a story very, very recently, which really inspired me as she shared it. She told the story of her family, a family of great love and of great faith, and particularly of her son, who's doing wonderful things in life today, I have to say, but who years ago was facing a really awful and awkward sickness. It manifested itself at night time, making the time before bedtime and sleep a very anxious time. The mum said to me that it became clear very quickly that no matter what, they had no control or power to stop what was happening for her son at that time. Very, very difficult. Both knew there was only one place, one person to turn to in order to find peace and actual sleep. I can't do anything, Lord. I've got no power. I put it in your hands. Look to Jesus. Mums, be encouraged as you share the faith. It's a powerful thing. Kids, tell your mums not only that you love them, but that Jesus loves them too. Jesus promises to clothe his people with power from on high when the Spirit comes. And the most wonderful news, the most wonderful news ever for you and me, is that God has sent his Spirit to bring us to Jesus, to the power of God in forgiveness, in the power of God in life, the power of God in love. In baptism, God has worked his power in you and me. The power of God through the gift of the Holy Spirit is what Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where he says, "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The message of the cross, the power of love, God's love for you and for me and for all. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the cross tells me so. That's what my mum taught me. I became empowered through her. And I encourage you to know that this is God's message for you and God's message in you to take wherever you go to. In promising the gift of the Holy Spirit, Jesus promises disciples an advocate, a counsellor whose job always is to walk with them and to point them to the one in whom we can trust. The gift of the Spirit is the gift of God of power, because the Spirit brings us to see with the eyes of our hearts Jesus and help others to see him too. Because when that time comes in our lives, when we no longer have the physical powers to do it all, when we get to that place of the valley of the shadow of death, there is going to be this same Jesus who will carry you and me to that place of eternal life. The heavy load of darkness and death is overcome by the power of God in Jesus Christ. We witnessed this in the most powerful way in Thailand many years ago, as people came to faith and felt the heavy and dark burdens of life without God lifted from their lives. It may look and sound very different to our streets and homes, perhaps, but make no mistake, dear friends in Christ, this spiritual power is the reality of our world and of our lives. So receive the gift, receive the promise, and trust and be encouraged to grow who you are, witnesses with the power of God for you and in you for the world. Amen. And may God's peace guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.